In a few minutes, this fall of 2016 workplace scene, take off your shirt and your pants, put on this medical gown, and talk Trump versus Clinton. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The last employment and the last unemployment report before the election is due in about an hour and a half. The consensus forecast by economists suggests that American non-farm payrolls rose by 178,000 people in October, and the unemployment rate might drop from 5 to 4.9%. If those collective forecasts are right, that would mean another month of pretty solid job growth. Bruce McCain is chief investment strategist at Key Private Bank in Cleveland.
The economy, for the most part, has been consistently moving forward, but not very strongly. In other words, we're making some fairly reasonable progress with respect to jobs, but it's not showing up with as much strength on the manufacturing side, for example, as we'd like to see. So in that sense, I think the labor markets are certainly not inordinately robust. We've not seen huge job gains, but it's been consistent over time, and it's gotten to the point that the labor markets seem like they've tightened up somewhat.
And for what it's worth, players in the bond market don't seem especially nervous about a surprise on election night. The Wall Street Journal, Reddit, and others have been watching what's called the Merrill Lynch Option Volatility Index. If market participants have priced in a Donald Trump win, this index might be rising sharply as Trump seems to narrow his gap with Hillary Clinton in the polls. But that bond volatility index has been running low in recent days. Again, for what it's worth, some experts read this, that the bond market is still expecting a Hillary Clinton win. Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 1.2%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down about a tenth percent each. The 10-year Treasury yield is down below 1.8%. There's news that several generic drug companies have received subpoenas in a federal price-fixing investigation. Bloomberg News is reporting that at least a dozen companies have gotten these subpoenas with no criminal charges yet. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace has some context.
Lots of news headlines this year have covered the outrageous prices for various prescription drugs. The U.S. spends more on prescription drugs than any country in the world. But the thing about generics is that those are supposed to be cheaper than the brand name drugs. Over the last few years, we've been seeing some of the same kind of price hikes. Drugs will double or they'll suddenly be 5 or 10 times the price. And when the feds get curious is when that happens at multiple companies around the same time. So it's not illegal to all raise prices at the same time, but it is illegal to collude, to plot together to do that.
And what kinds of drugs are we talking about here?
It looks like the Justice Department is interested in a particular heart drug and an antibiotic, though just yesterday we had a couple of congressmen, one of them Bernie Sanders, calling for the feds to look into drugs to treat diabetes, including insulin, where prices have also shot up. But price fixing is pretty hard to prove in court. People at the companies would have to have left essentially a paper trail or an email trail saying, hey, we'll raise prices if you do. And so usually those cases are settled. So far, all the companies named in the probe have, not surprisingly, said not it.
Lewis, thank you. Now to our series about what this election is doing to or doing for our economy. Today, workplace tensions. Chris Porter is a nurse practitioner in Seattle, where his political leanings this election year have become an issue in the examining room. Mr. Porter, good morning.
Good morning, David.
So you're a nurse, but you're also engaged publicly in politics. In what way?
I was elected as the elector for the congressional district. I'm an executive board member at the legislative district in my area, and I'm involved at the state party, the Democratic State Party in the state of Washington.
All right. So you don't have to do investigative journalism to figure out that you're involved in Democratic politics. And your patients may know that, and you start to get indications that maybe some patients might be drifting away because of this?
Very much so. A picture of me appeared in a number of the papers wearing a Bernie onesie, and a couple of patients that I see monthly for health maintenance stopped coming, and then soon after I received a records request for transfer of records to another practice.
But has it ever come up in the office? I mean, did you ever find out more directly that maybe some people object to your political leanings?
One particular visit was a gentleman, and he began launching the visit into, I just want to make sure that, you know, you're one of those left liberal-leaning people, that you understand all of Trump's stuff because you don't get the whole story. At the end of his dissertation, I said, well, that sort of surprises me in that you work at Boeing. You're a union guy. You've done quite well under that, and that is certainly in no part or related to the work of unions. And he's not necessarily a strong union person. And he turned to me, and his face got very bright red and very angry, and he said, "Don't ever bring up politics ever, ever again." And we just sort of agreed to finish the visit in a very uncomfortable manner to just end it.
So problem number one is, how are you going to take his blood pressure after that? That's problem probably number one. But the second thing is, the patient came in thinking he was going to convert you into a Donald Trump supporter if you just would learn what the platform actually is in his view.
I believe that was probably one of his motives too, yes.
What's your thought? After the election passes, do you think some of these people might drift back?
I won't expect that until, gosh, maybe April, after the anxiety and angst has worn down and people are able to talk about this more calmly and have settled with the fact that the person who wins the office is the president and we just move on.
All right. Chris Porter, nurse practitioner, Seattle. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, David.
Our senior producer of this program is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Wynn. Stephanie Hughes produces our sibling program, Marketplace Tech. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.